Just the mention of that word, just me saying the word stress, may be causing some of you to have a little palpitation. You might be having a little bit of a feeling of uncertainty. You see, stress is one of those conditions that we deal with in our day-to-day life that causes anxiety. I can imagine that tomorrow morning, some of you will have been on your third cup of coffee. You'll be worrying about deadlines, appointments. You may not have gotten enough sleep during the coming night. And in short, you'll be experiencing stress. There's ample medical evidence to show that stress and unhappiness make us more vulnerable to a whole host of physical and psychological diseases. What we have done to our lives in complicating them and bringing in so many different elements is a very costly condition known as stress. In fact, I didn't even realize that there was an institution entitled the American Institute of Stress. Now, you think about stress. These people deal with stress all day, every day, at the American Institute of Stress. There is a gentleman there, Dr. Paul Roche. He wrote a book, Stress and the Manager, or he referred to a book, Stress and the Manager, by an author named Carl Albrecht. Mr. Albrecht brazenly speculated that considering absenteeism, turnover rate, and overstaffing cost for reduced productivity due to stress, and cost per absentee per day per worker, that in the U.S., and this is somewhat dated, it's a few years old, but he estimated that it cost U.S. businesses $150 billion a year. Yes, that was B with billion. Billion dollars a year. $150 billion a year in productivity. That does not even begin to estimate the number of sales of drugs, medications, to help deal with the stress. That's just the impact on productivity in the workplace in the United States alone. As I thought about this, and I ran across this article, I thought about us as Christians living in this environment. We're not immune to that. We're susceptible to many of the same elements that cause this stress to grow and to consume our lives. But for Christians to allow stress in our lives to go unchecked prevents us from enjoying the numerous blessings that God intended for us to have. And it robs us of the opportunity, many times, to focus on telling others about Jesus Christ. So for a few minutes this evening, I want us to talk about stress. And I ran across an article, the author unknown, got my attention. It was entitled, 36 Christian Ways to Avoid Stress. Now, if I had a heart monitor attached, some of you would have just spiked when I said 36 ways to avoid stress, because you're thinking, surely he's not going to go through 36 ways tonight on how we can avoid stress. So let me ask you not to stress over what I'm talking about or what I just said. Yes, we are. We're going to mention 36 different ways, and I don't have 36 fingers to tell you. We've got 36 different ways in which we as Christians can help to reduce stress in our life. But fear not. There's no test. If you're a note taker, don't stress over the fact that you're going to miss one of the points. Let me know afterwards and we'll fill in your blanks. If you're sitting there wondering how long is it going to take him to talk about 36 ways to reduce stress, don't stress. Some of them will be a brief mention and we'll go on. But most all of them are going to be very familiar to us, and they're going to be things that we can look at and think about, even for a moment, that will help us as Christians to reduce stress in our life. And I My hope and prayer is that we'll move through them quickly and painlessly. So join me, if you will, as we think about many of these will be coming back to the forefront of your mind. They're there, you know them, you're aware of them, but sometimes we just need a gentle nudge, a reminder. And the first of those is one that is so important to us as Christians. We can't imagine the Christian life without it. And the first way to reduce stress as a Christian is to pray. We read in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that you not fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." In 1 Thessalonians 5:15-18, Paul in his letter to the church at Thessalonica says, "See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good one to another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus in you all." You see, prayer is one of those things that allows us as Christians to talk directly to God. And there can't be anything that would be more helpful in reducing stress in our life than to talk to the Almighty and to lay our burdens on God, because He will help us deal with them. The second one's one that you probably heard since you were a little child. Go to bed on time. Proverbs chapter 3 makes reference to getting a good night's sleep because it tells us, "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely. Your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." There is sweet sleep if we're walking the way that we're supposed to. That's a way to reduce stress in our life, is to go to bed on time, and right behind that, get up on time so that you can start the day unrushed, not hurried, not hassled. I suspect that there will be some of us tomorrow morning that may let that alarm clock slip a little. We might get up a little bit late, and that's going to start your Monday off very stressful. That's a good point for us to remember. Number 4, say no to projects that won't fit into your time schedule or that will compromise your mental health. We'd like to do everything that we can, but no one can do everything. You know, when the Scriptures tell us to take care of ourselves, to take care of our bodies, that we're the temple of God, we have to recognize and remember that if we are physically drained and physically tired and physically unable to do the work that God expects us to do, we lose our effectiveness. The stress level goes up. And so number 4, say no. Because sometimes it's better not to do a project than to not do it well. Number 5, delegate tasks to capable others. Boy, I know that this is one that's tough for some people. I'd rather do it myself. I'd rather do everything. But when we think about the way that the Lord's church was created and the way that man was created, the Scriptures tell us that we're a body, and that a body has many parts. And a body has many parts so that one part does one function, another part another. We as Christians should be working together to accomplish the goals and objectives. No one person should do everything. Delegate tasks to capable others. Number 6, by the way, I should have prefaced this lesson when I found it. The reason it made such an impression on me was that it was directed to me. So this evening, as I'm sharing it, I'm talking to myself first. And if you want to tag along, that's great. Especially as we get to number 6. Simplify and unclutter your life. Wow. Simplify and unclutter your life. Our lives have become so complex. We have so many things going on that we forget some of the basics and some of the elements that help us to live an effective Christian life. The Lord would have us to simplify and unclutter our lives and to think on those things that are important. Number 7, less is more. Less is more. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27, "Therefore I tell you not to be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Number 8, allow a little extra time to get things done and to get places. Guilty. Everything is a rush. Everything is a hurry. Everything is the last minute. Somehow, most of the time, it seems to all come together, but when you get there, you're stressed. You're frazzled. Allow a little extra time. Number 9, pace yourself. Spread out the big challenges and the difficult projects over time. Don't lump the hard things all together. You see, better for us to do a few things and do them well than to be overextended and ineffective. This is a big one. Take one day at a time. Boy, we worry, don't we? We anticipate, we think about what's going to happen tomorrow. We think about what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. There's a lot of anxiety that's caused because we don't take one day at a time. Let's remember the lessons taught in the scriptures. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed next week. We're not guaranteed next month. I read an anecdote that summed it up nicely. It said, if you worry about tomorrow or next week or next month, and you don't make it till then, you've worried for nothing. If you worry about tomorrow, next week, next month, and you do make it, then you've worried twice. There's no reason to do that. Number 11, separate worries from concerns. If a situation is a concern, go to God in prayer. Find out what He would have us to do and let go of the anxiety. There's so many hymns in our songbook that we sing that when I was going through this lesson, they came to mind. Oh, what grief we often carry because we fail to go to God in prayer. So many times that's what we do. We're worried about things that are not in our control. Number 12. See, we're through number 12 already. Those of you that were stressed out, about 36 points. Number 12, live within your budget. Live within your budget. Hebrews chapter 13 and 5 tells us, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave nor forsake you. Part of the stress that we have in our lives is self-induced because we aren't paying attention to the scripture of contentment. We should be content with what we have, not always looking to get more and more and more. Because we also need to recognize that we are warned that that love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And what is that worth if we gain material blessings and it causes us our eternal salvation? Number 13, have a backup. An extra key in your wallet, an extra house key somewhere hidden, and extra stamps in your wallet. So when you need one, you have it. Number 14, when I said this one was applying to me, this one has my name on it. I wish I could go back and undo, but I can't. Number 14 is K period M period S period. Keep mouth shut. This single piece of advice can prevent an enormous amount of trouble. In Proverbs, the writer in Proverbs chapter 21 and 23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. There have been so many times over the years where we have said things And once we have said them, it's too late. Again, I don't know what the number is in our hymn book, but we could sing a hymn for almost every one of these points. And this one would be, angry words, oh let them never, from the tongue unbridled slip. We can't take those words back. KMS. Number 15, do something for the kid in you every day. At first thought, you might think, might be considering, what does that mean? Well, I like to think of that as related to what Jesus said when Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to me. The kid in us, the innocence, the purity, the optimism that's in the mind of a child. Do something for the kid in you every day. Number 16, carry a Bible to read while waiting in line. Now, this one's become a whole lot easier, hasn't it? Most of us have a phone or an iPad or some type of electronic device, and many of us have a Bible downloaded on that. You've got your phone, you've got the scripture, turning and keeping a Bible with you to read while you're waiting in line. Great stress reducer. We talked about getting to bed on time and getting up on time, and all that's encompassed with number 17, which is get enough rest. The Lord's made the human body into a wonderful, wonderful being. Our bodies tell us when we're thirsty. They tell us when we're hungry. They tell us when we need to rest. God recognizes that. When we have the lesson on the 23rd Psalm, a shepherd knows when his sheep need to lie down and to rest. God created our bodies so that we know when to rest, and we should do that. Number 18, eat right, and that's physically and spiritually. We feed ourselves on a regular basis, not always healthy, but do we feed ourselves healthy on a spiritual basis? Because that will help us to reduce the stress in our life. Number 19, get organized so that everything has a place. Number 20, when you're in that car driving along, pop in a CD or something that will help you improve the quality of your life. Listen to Christian hymns. Listen to a speaker. Listen to something that will be more calming than the news and the weather and the traffic. Number 21, write down thoughts and inspirations. It's a proven fact that if you write something, you are infinitely more inclined to remember it than if you just say it or if you hear it. But write down thoughts. Write down things that you want to remember. Number 22, every day, find some time to be alone. That might seem like an odd one, except only when we are alone and can enter into self-reflection can we really make sure that we're doing what we should do, that we're living the life that we should live. Ask yourself, do I like me? Do I like what I am? Do I like what I portray to others? Am I living the type of life that I want to live? Seek some time to be alone. Number 23, when we have problems, talk to God. Try to nip small problems in the bud. If you're a fan of the Andy Griffith Show, Barney had a favorite saying, nip it, nip it, nip it. Don't let it get big. It's harder to control when it's big. When it's a small problem, if we go to God, if we go to Him, if we let Him help us, He will. Don't wait until bedtime to go to God in prayer. Number 24, make friends with God's people. We've heard all of our lives, evil companions corrupt good morals. The Scriptures tell us that we should not associate with sinners and those who portray sin. Align ourselves and make friends with godly people. Number 25, keep a folder of favorite scriptures on hand. There are some scriptures that give you comfort. Keep those handy. Keep them nearby. Keep them in a folder. Keep them on your phone. Write them on your heart. Those will help us in a time of need. Number 26, remember sometime that the shortest bridge between despair and hope is often a good thank you, Jesus, knowing that He's there. Number 27, one of my favorites. Laugh. Laugh. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. Time to weep, and a time to laugh. Number 28, laugh some more. It amazes me that Christians are sometimes portrayed, and we sometimes act as though we are the most solemn and sour people in the world. You ever notice that? And yet the opposite is true. As Christians, we should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Jesus Christ came and died so that we have hope of eternal life. We have a hope of heaven for eternity. We have the church to support us. We have each other to encourage us. We should be the happiest person in the world. We should have a smile from ear to ear. But oftentimes, that's not what we portray. So I think it's worth repeating. Number 27 and number 28, laugh. Number 29, take your work seriously, but not yourself at all. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Let's not take ourselves too seriously. Let's remember we're all human. It leads us right into number 30. Told you all I was preaching to me. I need a mirror right here. Number 30, develop a forgiving attitude. Because you know what? Most people are doing the best that they can. Matthew chapter 6 and 14 tells us, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Number 31, be kind to unkind people. After all, they're probably the ones that need it the most. Matthew 5, 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Boy, that's a hard one sometimes. But you know what? They do. They need it the most. Number 32, sit on your ego. Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Keep the ego in check. Related one, a little bit to one that we talked about earlier. Number 33 is talk less and listen more. James advises us that. Know this, my beloved brothers, James 1:19. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Number 34, slow down. World's gotten awfully fast. Slow down. Number 35, remind yourself you are not the general manager of the universe. I had a good friend. I have a good friend who told me a story about one of her coworkers. She said this woman had a plaque on her desk. She was in an executive position. And I think this is the greatest plaque, and I think everyone should have one. It sits on her desk and says, I am not in charge of happy. We're not in control. God is in control. We need to remember that. We're not the general manager of the universe. God is in control. Number 36, every night before you go to bed, think of one thing that you're grateful for that you've never been grateful for before. You see, if we focus on even part of these, if we start to think about God and the blessings He's provided us, then God has a way of turning things around. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Stress is a consuming, overwhelming, powerful, and sometimes debilitating condition that is most often created by ourselves. If we reflect on some of these things this evening, we think about God and the avenue that He has given us to go to Him in prayer. If we think about that as Christians, He has told us that we should lay our burdens on Him, then as Christians, we can relieve the stress in our life so that we can focus on those things He would have us to do, to tell others about Jesus Christ, and to live peaceably among all men, to free ourselves from worry and care, and to enjoy the blessings of being a Christian. This evening, we're going to sing a song in just a moment to encourage anyone who is not a member of the Lord's church to come and put the Lord on in baptism as one did this morning, to have your sins removed, and to be able to go forward in a life where you have that avenue of prayer, where you have that avenue to go and to unburden yourself by going to God. If you're a Christian and you've let stress or cares of the world overcome you, if you've become less effective in your life as a Christian, if you've allowed things of the world to take control, or if you're facing circumstances where you need the prayers of the Lord's church, we encourage you to come, let it be known as together we stand and sing.